a bloodthirsty beast. Unfortunately, he has such a rapid coefficient of blood coagulation that he can block up any wound he receives in just a few seconds before he can die.
You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Michael Myers is here, in this town. He's here to kill that little girl and anybody who gets in his way.
No, Dios mío.
Vaya con Dios.
No, Dios mío, no.
It all sounds like some bad movie.
Oh, it sure does sound like some bad movie.
It sure does. Hello. Are you there? Oh, my camera's all messed up. Where you be? Still muted. Yes.
I forgot about the mute, but yeah, I'm still here. How's my camera?
Camera's beautiful.
Okay, cool.
I have to fix mine though. So
all right,
something happened. It moved. Hold on, let's see.
Anyway, welcome to technical difficulties. Better. Technical difficulties.
Oh no! This is not technical difficulties. you have
well,
you do have an idea. But out there podcast land, this doesn't even come close.
As I said while I was muted, welcome to Movie Sucktastic. I'm Scott. That's Joey.
Hi.
And today, hello. Sorry, didn't step on you.
Hello.
And today we're talking about the 1981 Italiano Classico, Absurdio.
Absurd.
Absurd. Yes. One of 11 different titles for the film.
Now, the Italian title is Rosso Sangui. You got to roll your
sangui.
R's. Rosso Sangui.
Hold on. Yep. Rosso.
Oh.
That's
a good one. No, you did good.
All right. So what else you got besides Rosso Sangui, which
actually,
means blood red?
It means blood red in Italian. I did not actually go...
Oh.
I didn't go deep into, I just know the two titles.
Oh, I didn't want to step on your toes. Okay, yeah.
No,
top of that, the other titles for the film are Horrible. Not kidding.
Wow.
Monster Hunter.
What? Okay.
Anthropophagus 2. Anthropophagus being a fancy word for cannibal.
Well, this actor was in the first Anthropophagus.
Right. It's supposed to be like a spiritual sequel to this. It was originally intended to be a spiritual sequel. Then there's The Grim Reaper 2.
Okay.
Zombie 6, Monster Hunter. Then here we get to the other languages. So I'm going to try to do these properly. Psychos Infernale, which is infernal psychosis.
Is that Spanish?
Rosso Sangui, which is blood red. Which, that's the title you already mentioned.
Honestly, it's so far, it's the best fucking title.
I agree.
And I real quick, I looked it up. There is not another movie called Blood Red until 1989. So
right.
I don't understand why they just didn't stick with Blood Red.
Because they're Italian. They didn't like it.
Hey, no.
Then you had Cocchino Ema, I think, which is Red Blood. Then Maldición Satánica, Satanic Curse, and Terror Sem Limites, Unlimited Horror.
Ooh.
There's other variations of those, but those are like the main different titles of the film. Oh. Now, back in the 80s, with the explosion of video rental stores, mom and pop shops and everything, little companies were buying up distribution rights for all these foreign films and then re-release them in America, and they would retitle the shit out of them.
Now, I don't remember seeing this in any of the mom and pop stores when I was growing up. I mean, you would see, you know, Kill Them Slowly. You'd see, you know, Faces of Death. You'd see like all of these other horror films, and you knew it was, the boxes were huge. I don't know if you remember those. I mean, like the VHS tape was its size. Well, okay, I know you do. But they were huge, and it always said something like banned in 72 countries. And it's like, wow, the true horror aficionado needs to get this.
I do remember Absurd being on the video rack, but only the specific cover, which is the, it's in the slideshow. It's the blood red cover and just a close-up of like a scythe or a blade coming through it, and then it just says Absurd. I remember seeing that box on the rack. Never rented it. Never saw it until it came up for the review. But I do remember that cover being around, available to me at the time.
Uh-huh. Now, this is also after he did Rabid Dogs as well, this actor. What year did Rabid Dogs come out in 79 or 80? I forget the...
Late 70s. 77, 78? I forget.
Oh, maybe
don't
it's.
Ask me to. I didn't prepare for that.
No, I know. Maybe it's 76. I'll.
Well, the,
I'll look
Michael,
it up
you're talking about George Eastman, Michael. George Eastman is the main actor. He plays the mutant freak killer, but he's also the screenwriter of the film.
Oh, God. Rabid Dogs is 1974.
74. I knew it was around my birthday. So, yeah. Yeah, so he worked with D'Amato frequently, and he did quite a bit of acting, both in film and television. I believe he still acts, still a known actor today on Italian television.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he wrote and starred in this film, and he wrote or co-wrote several other D'Amato films. I don't know exactly. I'm not a huge D'Amato fan, or I don't know what the Italian the name is for somebody really into Italian films, but I only have a mild interest, not a major fascination, so I can't spout that stuff off the top of my head.
So apparently they did make an Anthropophagus 2, came out in 2022.
Yeah, not oh, it's boy. Not well respected no, or received.
It's looks awful.
It's not in my collection, so I don't think. No, it's not. I've been through the A's already. No.
The last thing he acted in that he acted in was La Rivacita di Natale in 2004. So he hasn't acted in anything in 20 years.
Hmm. All right. Well,
interesting. Anyhow.
But yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, got away from the actual review.
Right, so the film is the film that is going by the title that we know, Absurd. And it's nice when a film's right up front with you at the beginning of the movie.
You know, it's I'm watching this thing and I'm like, this is the right title, I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going. We're good. So the film starts with a spirograph and a priest doctor, and then a priest doctor chasing a tall man.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Then a spirograph.
Yeah.
Then a priest doctor chasing his tall man. Just back and forth with that.
You know, this movie does that. This is I was able to get my hands on the uncut version. And
me too.
I'm like, what did they put back in? Because
gore.
Is it just gore or is it just extra runtime?
This was one of the was this one of the video nasties, right? I think it actually was never actually on the list, but this is during the video nasty period where they were actually banning films in Britain, and you had a lot of pushback in America too. The 80s was very rough on horror films, and that was the time where a lot of stuff just got chopped to shit, especially foreign films that were purchased by redistribution companies because they could sell it to bigger markets if they chopped the gore out. And that's another reason why you have multiple cuts of films from this time period. So this is one where they just chop the gore out. The uncut version is really it's just like the Friday the 13th first one. If you get the uncut version, it's just you get the close ups are inserted, and there's actually some scenes where you can tell because the grain's slightly different Because they might have not have had a master print for some of the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, because where I was going with that is I would have preferred if this was about 10 minutes shorter.
There is a lot of padding. The hospital sequence where they spend like a good 5 minutes just poking at his stomach guts. Plug. Yeah.
I saw that one poster you put in the slideshow where his guts spell out the word absurd.
Oh, yes, that's the best titles ever, yeah. And I think that's a nod to Anthropophagus. It's been I don't think I've ever actually watched Anthropophagus all the way through, so...
Same.
I know why I have the uncut version. I know what's in it, but I don't know anything else about it. yeah, and the other scene that's really, really padded is the long walk home sequence.
Oh, my God.
With Mindy or Cindy?
Well, if we want to talk about long sequences, how about him killing Emily for
at least five to seven minutes
trying to stuff her head into an oven?
But if we're going to do that, let's go from the beginning and just go through it. This film's got a lot to hit. I'm afraid if we bounce back and forth, we're going to forget everything.
But holy so the film starts shit, with that scene.
So I agree with you. We'll get to that. Yeah. So as I said, Spirograph, priest doctor chasing tall man. George Eastman is 6'9".
Is he that tall?
Yes. That's one of the reasons why he played like these monster type characters, because he's like a huge person. Hard to tell in the film because because they always shoot him from low angles, so anybody looks tall at that point, so it kind of defeats the purpose of having a tall guy. But you can tell in some of the scenes, like when he's reaching around blind and like his hands going right over that little girl, it's like, man, if he was a foot shorter, this film would be a lot shorter.
Well, there is one scene in the film where you can really get his height, and it's near the end when he's strangling the priest.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they did a little forced perspective on that, because he looks like he's about 2 feet taller than the priest.
Yeah, this whole film's forced perspective. There's a lot of scenes that are shot from very low angles. There's a few Argento close-ups. Like, you know, he didn't invent them, but that's like what we're used to. That's what I call them. But yeah, there's, you know, like when the father comes home and like the doom, it's like, wow, what's everybody doing? It's like it's a weird angle. Yeah. So we start with the two guys running after each other, and then meanwhile nearby the Barrett's household, where you've got the disgruntled mother, you got Willie, the young the little orphan Annie cosplay child.
Oh God.
That's always angry.
Oh, he's always angry. Daddy.
And Daddy. And then the annoyed babysitter Becky, and while they're Emily.
It was Emily. Because Emily's
the girl from the hospital.
No, I thought Emily was the girl that babysat.
Oh. No, Becky's the girl that babysat. No, Peggy, not no Peggy, because Peggy's uncredited. Peggy's the one that gets the pitchfork in the head. That's yeah. Peggy. Spoiler alert.
Emily is the babysitter.
No, Peggy gets the pitchfork in the head. Peggy's the babysitter. Emily gets stuffed in the oven. Emily's the sister that works at the hospital. It's like a fucking cell problem.
Oh, okay.
Right. I had the same problem. That's why I know, because I had the same problem. Because both of their heads get messed up during the film. It's kind of hard to remember anything but the blood.
You know what? It must have just stuck out in my head, because this little kid is like, Daddy, it's good to see you, Daddy. Like that's how this kid, it's like whoever did the voice acting was like, I think I'm going to make him sound like a fancy boy, you know?
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Emily, let me in, Emily.
So, and then the other child, of the other person in the household is Katya, the kid that's what are they doing? They're elongating her. They're stretching her. It's her stretching time of the year.
Something with her back, her spine.
Oh, she has a deviated spine. That's new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, stretching the girl is going to fix the spinal problem. I'm sure that they got a great doctor behind all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, so while they're there, the tall man tries to climb over their front gate, and the priest doctor trying to stop him impales him on their damn gate, and then he walks through the house through the front door like doing balloon animals with his intestines.
He's just playing with it. It's like,
right. Ew. So then they rush him to the hospital where Emily works, Emily being the sister that doesn't live there, but she comes right. over to help with the elongated daughter.
Right.
And yes. So they fix his stomach plug, and they the doctor remarks that he heals very, very quickly.
Yeah.
By the way, during this entire hospital sequence, Holly kept pointing out everything that it's like, you don't put dirty towels back on the same thing as the clean tool. Who's doing where? It's like, this is an Italian film filmed in the Greek islands, but they set it in America. So they're trying to make it look like American healthcare. So it's like, oh, okay. And that's a fun part of the film, too, because they don't give you a specific setting, but they do go out of their way to say, hey, this is America. And yeah, they do it.
They're watching football. Yeah.
They're watching football, and it's like things they say. But then there's other things you're like, there's no fucking way this is even close to America. And it's hilarious.
No, I know. And it should be soccer, not football. The other football. That's what it should be.
The fun game is, as you go through, try to guess where in the country it's set.
Yeah.
Because like during the opening, when the priest doctor is chasing the tall man, I'm thinking either like the Amish territory, maybe the Pine Barrens. I don't know. It's just like it's a lot of forest for an American town.
Well, yeah.
Maybe New England, Vermont could be. No, people aren't snooty enough. It's not Vermont.
No.
Sorry.
But it's fine. It's when you said Pine Barrens, and I think I just glazed off. I'm like, Jersey?
Oh, it's in Jersey. Right, relax. Okay.
I mean, listen.
But
that's Pine Barrens is in Jersey. I'm like, yeah, Jersey. Yeah, they're in Jersey.
So they rush him to the hospital.
They rush him to the hospital. Heals very quickly.
They figure out he has superhuman.
Yeah. And the priest comes to the hospital. And
after the cop picks him up, the typically American Scottish cop picks him up for walking. And then after that ends up at the hospital, where he goes through the guy's clothing for change.
Yeah. And then they start to interrogate the priest.
Because when the priest looks in the door, the tall man sees him and starts flipping out, and then they get mad at him, and then the black cop pulls the gun on him. So I see a black cop with a gun. So now I'm thinking Chicago. It's the 80s. I think that works.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they interrogate him in the examination room.
Yeah. And it's just like, these injuries that he has, are they because of you? Are you the reason? And he's like, he's evil. He's a monster. He's evil incarnate.
Some of the conversations these two guys have, the cop close to retirement, which I'm glad they threw that in. That's so American.
Yeah.
All cops in America are 3 weeks away from retirement. You know that if you watch any movies from the 80s.
Always.
And the priest, his voice is he's talking like almost like he's like doing a Russian, like a mild Russian accent, or the broken English is just very with the deep voice. I come for evil.
Evil.
You know?
But of course.
I have passport. He pulls that shit. But then other sentences, they just have him drop one "the" here or there to keep it up with it. But he knows English. He knows how to. You know, he's not talking properly. But they just have these, like, the conversation are always vague, especially when they talk to the doctor and they bring up the X-rays. Here's a question I have. The first thing they say is, "Look at these X-rays. See the brain here's a," and he looks up and goes, "The brain. The brain got bigger after the operation." Fast forward to the end of their conversation, and the priest tells him So yes, it's the brain is his weak part. It is the only part of his body that he cannot regenerate. It's like, if that's not the part regenerating, how did it get bigger?
Yeah, listen, I don't have an original Italian transcript. It might not even have been in the original script. Who the fuck knows? All I know is that when they do this shit where they translate, or if they put it in an English dub, they kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the screenplay real quick.
Did you take the screenshot because they're eating spaghetti? Is that why you did that? Oh.
Let's talk about that real quick. All right, because again, the film's trying to do an American setting, and so the father. We'll fast forward. We're not missing too much here. We'll fast forward to the father and mother, the Bennetts. They leave the kids alone because that way we can get the body count higher and rank up the tension. And they go down the street to the neighbor's house for a football dinner party.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, American football dinner party. Let's see what this looks like. Now, I was very surprised that 80s Greek. Decor very similar to American 80s decor. If I didn't know it was in a Greek, I'd think it was in America. That's fine. But so it's three couples. So it's like five or six people, maybe seven.
Right.
They're all dressed in evening gowns and three piece suits. They're sipping like cognac, sitting around watching the football game, because there's nothing more American. And they don't say Super Bowl, but they say it's the championships, which could be anything. I don't know sports, but you know, I'm assuming it's like a Super Bowl.
There's
party,
only cause one championship for football, and it's the Super Bowl.
Okay, so it's Super Bowl. So they're just not saying it. So it's like the town's deserted apparently because of this, because everybody's like leaving to go to other people's houses because that's what they do. And in the 80s, that's probably true. They didn't have like the fucking cable we have now,
right?
My point is, did I have a point to that?
They were eating spaghetti.
Yeah. So then, like, so they go, all right, and they bring out the food, it's spaghetti. And I turn to Holly and go, you know, I feel like the Italian director is like, I think this is malicious. I really feel like I can see the scenario where they're sitting, where they're like, all right, what do they have? And imagine they're talking in Italian because they're obviously not talking in English. And they say, you know, what do they have laying around in America for football games? They go, you know, like snacks and this and that. What are savages? We have real food. What the fuck is that? You know what? Fuck them. You know, they should be eating spaghetti. Yeah, get spaghetti. Don't even give them sauce. Just dry spaghetti. I want those Americans to watch themselves smiling, eating dry fucking spaghetti. The way he films it, it feels like a fuck you to America. It really bothered me, but in a good way, because I'm glad he did it. I'm not offended. I love it. what was your take on it?
I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, listen, you know, I don't remember Super Bowl parties from the early 80s, but I do remember Super Bowl parties from the late 80s, early 90s, and it was always wasn't spaghetti. You know, it was chips, it was dip, it was sandwiches, you know, it was kind of a lot of things that we do now, but not spaghetti. So I'm watching that and I'm like, what kind of Super Bowl party is this?
Yeah, I've never been to a Super Bowl party, but I have seen countless Super Bowl parties in countless commercials over the years, and I know exactly what they are. It's a couch with a you know, the dining table, not dining table, you know, the long like coffee table, and then you got the chips, you got the beer, you got dip, you got some other kind of stuff. Someone's nearby holding a bag of Doritos, whatever the fuck they're selling. At least one person has to have a foam finger, otherwise you're out. And then everybody's t-shirts. T-shirts is like the most you're dressed. If you've got like a tie on, you're the guy at the door delivering like flowers, because it's like they're trying to make amends for the wife beating that happens during the Super Bowl.
I'll agree with everything except for the foam finger. I've never been to a fucking Super Bowl party where anyone had a foam fucking finger.
Me neither, but I've seen it in almost every other commercial, so it's got to be a thing.
Okay, we're going by commercials. Are they at the Super Bowl?
Where's my foam finger? God damn it. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yep, you found it. Okay, good. Wait, do you actually have a fucking foam finger?
Yeah. Continue with the review.
All right. I'm in.
Moving on. So if you backtrack a bit, the tall man wakes up in the hospital while they're interrogating the priest doctor, and he does a driller killer right through her head.
Not only is it right through, but it's through the other side too.
Yeah,
goes all the way in and out. A lot more blood on the first side, no blood on the second side.
What's the first thing you thought? So when the Scottish cop runs through and he finds her laying there with the drill all but through both sides sticking out like that, what's the first thing you thought of?
Steve Martin.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm not doing the voice, but yeah. His arrow through the head is great. If I was by the way, I tried not to use bloody slides because I'm trying to avoid. We're gonna get flagged no matter what. I figured I wanted to try to at least be a little sympathetic.
How does dead meat get away with it?
What?
How does dead meat get away with it?
Yeah. Well, they don't. Sometimes they have to get sponsors because they can't monetize because they have gore. That's how they don't get away with it.
Yes.
I don't give a shit though, so I'm gonna put it in if I want to. But anyway, I did avoid a lot of blood, I did include you have to include the money shot at the end of the little bloody girl holding up the severed head.
Of course.
That's a must. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. That's staying in. We don't have to monetize this episode. Fuck that. No, so here's where it gets the coincidences in this film. It's just wacky. I mean, so he leaves the hospital after he kills the girl,
right.
kills a wood shop teacher, good. Then he moves on and kills the bike the quadrophenia like bike hooligan, also good. No right. problems there. He likes killing the brain or the head. They're all headshots he goes for the most part. I think he's jealous because our brains are better and he kind of knows that.
Yeah, and he knows that if his brain gets injured, he'll die.
Yeah. The weird thing about, and you can tell his brain is not working properly because after when he kills Pee-wee Herman, he drags him off the road, but he leaves his bike in the middle of the road. So he's not really concerned. He's like, he just wanted to do something with the body. He wasn't really concerned about being found.
Yeah, not really. No.
Right.
No.
So, but while he's on his way to kill the kid, the father of the father Bennett hits him on the way home.
Yeah.
Right. So when he leaves the house with his wife later to go to the dinner party, the killer wakes up and kills the biker, then walks down the road and recognizes the car. Is like, oh, here's where I'm going to kill more people. So thank you for putting your children in danger. You fucking you know. Oh, what a Weasley fucking character, man. He's like standing there, like looking at the car, lighting a cigarette. It's like, oh, I guess this one's a freebie.
Yeah.
Although I was surprised when he confessed later, because I joked, like when she says, "What's wrong with you?" I'm just like, "Just murder." And then he confesses, like, "Oh man, he called my bluff."
Yeah, it was crazy.
But yeah, so that coincidence, and then on top of Emily being the nurse that helped during the operation, that he then attacks when she walks home to help the elongated girl. I mean, there's screaming going on, but I don't know what's going on. I'm ignoring it.
Ignore it.
If
you ignore it, it'll go away.
It always does.
It does.
Yeah, so the coincidences are abound, but the best part is when he gets to the house and starts stalking the children and the adults through the house, especially little orphan Annie, because I really wanted him hurt at one point.
Well, you know, I so I'm watching this thing, and
that's not a no.
It's not a no.
That's not a I disagree.
It's not a no.
I sense a rationalization for why you don't disagree coming.
Well, I thought the plot was going to go a little differently with the kid. I actually thought that the kid was going to end up being like it was going to transfer from the monster's body, you know, into the little kid. And that's what I initially
was going to transfer.
The evil, you know, whatever was in him would move over to the little kid, almost like Omen style.
That's another one of the vague parts of the film is that at first, like he's an experimental medical experiment from like a Vatican hospital or something like that, which is very, very sus. And some, And somehow through the experimentation at this Catholic hospital, was Catholic, Christian, I don't know. He somehow became Jesus. Immortal. Whoops.
Yeah, cannot be killed unless you kill the brain. The cerebral mass.
Well, his brain's bad. Right. So on the one hand, the priest doctor keeps talking about science, that's a thing he's going for. Yeah. I believe in science. But then he starts talking about once the devil entered his body, he's like, so you're talking possession here, but that's not science. So which one are we going for? So they never really give you a real explanation of what happened to him, just that evil's involved. But I feel like it's more like a kind of Loomis evil, where it's like, you know, I think he's evil just in the sense that, yeah, we fucked it up and now we got to kill it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the whole jumping to the kid, I didn't see that coming because I just kind of saw it more as a mad scientist experiment gone wrong than a demon jumps into a body to wreak havoc. That's just me.
Yeah, but I didn't know where they were going to end up going with it. So when I say that, I'm saying it with, I wonder if that's what they're going to do. I wouldn't have been surprised is where I'm really going with it.
This is not a film you can fault anybody for being surprised by at certain scenes. It's like, yeah. I thought this was going to happen. Well, of course you would write a better film.
I would certainly try.
Can we touch on the point, speaking of the fact that they were specifically gearing this as an American, so an international release for them?
Mm-hmm.
If we focus on that idea, can we also admit that the film does feel like when they eventually did their final draft, they had incorporated just a little bit of Halloween into it?
yeah. Halloween had
maybe
come
some
out,
of the
what,
soundtrack
2 years earlier. 3 years earlier,
yeah,
78, yeah, I think Halloween was, and then I think Halloween 2, the sequel, hold up, I think Halloween 2 came out the same year. I actually kind of like the music.
Oh no, it's got a I don't know if it was Goblin, but it definitely had a Goblin feel. The one scene, that one scene, when Emily leaves Elongated Girl and walks down the hall. Or she's walking down the hall to the Elongated World, right. Girl. I forget which one. It's after she finds out that there's somebody in the house, and the music starts off slow, and then the beat gets faster as it gets louder.
Yes, crescendoing.
It has that Goblin feel to it, and I was like, wow, I don't give a fuck about what's going on now. This song, this music's great. Yeah, I had no problem with the soundtrack, but there are certain portions of the soundtrack that sound suspiciously like the Halloween theme.
Let me look up the. Oh, and Halloween 2 did come out in 1981, so
yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, let's see, casting, crew.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, anything. Filming locations: Rome, Italy.
I thought it was filmed on a Greek island. No, it was filmed on a Greek island.
Well, that's the main one that's there. There could be more. If I click on this, it says here filming locations was Fiano Romano, Rome, Lazio, Italy.
I don't know.
Greece is not in the list.
Maybe I'm mixing it up. I was reading about D'Amato's past, a very interesting character. Yeah. You know, he's originally like an engineer, or his father was an electrician. He got into the industry. They were selling cameras and stuff. Very interesting background. He made like hundreds of films, including pornography and some horror pornography. I think I have both of the horror pornography ones.
Really?
I've never seen them. I know I have them. I'm a collector. Not a consumer.
Gotcha.
The
music was not done by Goblin.
No, but it's definitely got that. Yeah. You know, they were like, give me a Goblin. All right, we'll do Goblin.
Yeah.
He had a period where he did all Anthropophagus, I think, was one of them. And that might be where I got mixed up, or if I am mixed up. But there was a period where he spent did seven films while he was out on the Greek islands.
Okay. Okay.
And these characters are from Greece, but I just assume they. But so yeah. So I mean, I it's connected to Greece. I'm not sure if they actually filmed in Greece. That's my bad. But I don't care. But yeah, he goes on a killing spree.
Killing spree, big time killing spree.
Killing spree. Now, what? How many murders?
That could have been the name
into?
Of this movie too. Killing spree.
There's a killing spree. How many murders we had? So like we said, we had the nurse at the beginning with the driller killer. Then the woodshop teacher split the head.
That's two.
Then he throttled Pee Wee Herman.
Three.
Then he goes to the house, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because he got hit by the car and everything. So he goes to the house. So after that, you're just talking about like the
babysitter.
Oh, Becky with the pitchfork.
Right. So that's four.
Not pitchfork, idiot. Pickaxe.
Pickaxe. That's four.
Yeah. Right. So the pickaxe, and then Emily near the end. That's five. And then the priest doctor, six.
Six.
So that's six. I said six. Slasher film.
Yeah, I said six.
Yeah. This is a giallo film, the Italian slasher type film specifically.
Not the ice cream.
No tease, and that's that's in the slasher genre. And the film's not as stylized as you get from like an Argento. And I'm not an Argento fan. I'm not kind of hold them up to it. But I'm just saying Argento stuff is a lot more stylized. Apart from like the low shots and the close ups, there isn't much. Too much going on camera work. I don't know if you noticed anything specific that I missed.
No.
No. I was like, no, I'm not defending this film.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
Well, no. We'll talk when we rate it. Are we at that point?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of what we covered. I mean, we kind of trailed off before we got to the end of the film. How about the part, another part where you can tell it's America. Let's see. So then there's the part where, the doctor priest asks the cop for a gun, and the cop's like, okay, here's one.
Everyone's got
so
a
at
gun.
That point. Yeah, at that point, I'm thinking it's in Texas.
Sure, Texas. Why not?
Possibly, you know.
Somewhere.
But then when the father hits the person and like doesn't even stop and just drives away, that I was thinking Jersey. You know, so it's like it goes back and forth.
Sure.
But once you get to the house, there's a lot of cat and mouse. There's a lot of people trying to push doors, pull doors that they should be pushing on,
right.
Or vice versa. And then there's a nice long sequence of the elongated girl undoing her contraption
So let's, before we actually rate this thing, let's talk about the oven scene where he's trying to kill Emily in the oven. Now, I think this is a good place to do that, then rate the movie, because that scene, I didn't time it. But it had to be at least 5 to 7 minutes long. And what they do is they show him trying to stuff. First, you think he's trying to stuff her in the oven. You know, then he turns on the burner, the broiler, I should say. And then you're thinking, okay, he's trying to, I don't know what he's like, trying to have her pass out because of the gas. And then, but then they cut from that to the girl in the bed with the straps trying to undo all the straps, and they show that in long excruciating detail, and then they cut back to the kid, you know, slamming on the door, let me in, so that's going on. Then they cut back to him trying to put her in the oven or do whatever he's trying to do in the oven, and that goes on for another solid minute. Then they cut back to her with the straps again, all while the music is crescendoing. I mean, like, it's going up, it's going up, it's going down, it's going down, it's going up. Back to the kid, let me in, come on, let me in. It's like, what the fuck am I watching here? It's like, it's like a good five, six, 7 minutes.
All right.
Oi, wait a minute. Then he actually does kill Emily, or so you think, and she's on the ground, and then he goes into the room, and then Emily gets up to like try and beat him off and kills her in 1 second.
Well, she wasn't going to beat him off.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, trying to help your Uncle Jack off
the
horse.
No, don't do it.
So she's like hitting him and she's trying to fight back and he kills her literally in 1 or 2 seconds. And it's like, we had to watch 7 minutes of him trying to kill her when he just killed her in a second when she got up after I knew she wasn't dead because I'm like, this scene has gone on way too long for him to have killed her this way. But what the fuck, dude? I'm going to go back and time it, but that whole thing had to be at least 5 to 7 minutes long. Easily.
Oh, definitely.
Easily.
Yeah. My first and only uttered thought, everything else was I kept inside. But the only thing I said out loud when it first started was, that seems like a poor choice of weapons. And I just kind of hung with that thought through that entire lengthy process. And I'm just thinking, you know, like, I mean, are you getting bored? I mean, you seem like an adrenaline junkie. This is really, I mean, the bandsaw only took 13 seconds, like most. This is like going on for an hour. I mean, are you going to have to baste her at some point? What the fuck is going on?
I was waiting for the barbecue sauce that you just slathered all over her face.
I guarantee there's a microwave in that house. It's the 80s. But please speed this up somehow. I am with you. And when they kept coming, at one point when they cut back, I thought she was turning into the Tin Man. And I was like, because the makeup's the one part of the film where the makeup's a little too on the nose for me, where I'm like, this looks like somebody suffocating in an oven. I'm not enjoying this as much as I think I should.
Yeah.
Unsettling. Yeah, I didn't put any pictures. The only picture I put in the slideshow is from the kitchen side view. I didn't put any POV shots in that slideshow. No. You can find that on your own if that's what you're into.
If you're into that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, the most disturbing part of the film. What for you, what was the most, is that your most disturbing part of the film?
I just, because of how long it took and the cutting back and that she's looking worse every time they're doing it. I mean, you could easily go with just one of the other violent scenes, but yeah, that's for me. Yeah, probably that one.
All right. Here's the scene that disturbed me the most. It's when the little kid, I love the fact when Emily takes the little Willie and says, "Where are you, Willie? You know, this is the child that can't even handle the television choices." And she just pushes him out the door and says, "Go get help." So, of course, the first thing the kid does is break back in the house.
Right.
Then, after he's almost killed, he decides to go find help. And when he's trying to find help, the priest doctor almost hits him with the car. By the way, if that was his father, that kid'd be dead. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the priest doctor gets out and just looks at the kid, goes, and then like goes up, and then the shot's on the kid looking up, and then the priest's hand just slowly goes on the kid's head. And I know what they were going for, but this day and age, I'm like, they're never going to see him or that kid again.
That's your most disturbing scene?
Yeah, because of where that could have gone. Honestly, out of everything in the film, that's the one thing that made me go, is this right? Should I be alarmed here? Everything else seemed natural, the natural order of things. Oh, yes, funny. Occasionally, like Vatican mutants like run around killing people. It's a thing that happens. But when that priest doctor gets his hands on a little kid and makes that face, I'm concerned.
You're concerned. Okay.
That's all. Yeah, I gotta say the ending. When the cops and the parents and everybody and Willie finally get to the house, and oh man,
yeah, what took them so long?
The last thing going through the priest doctor's head had to be, can you hurry up with the axe?
Yeah,
can you? I'm just nick of time. Really could use you to hurry up with that axe. Talk about too little, too late.
Yeah, right.
And then she takes like. I think I counted up to 12.
Wax at his 17? Head, yeah.
Yeah, and not even hard wax. Like, she wasn't even putting effort into it. She was just, like, letting it drop. It's like, eventually it's going to work through. I'm determined, but I'm not breaking a sweat. And when they all get there, like they do the reaction shot where the door opens and we don't see her yet, and they show every face, and knowing what they see at the end, the only person that has the face that they should have for that situation is Father Bennett. Yeah. who looks horrified out of his mind. Everybody else looks either confused or kind of happy. He's like, the only one who's like, what's happened? Because he knows it's all his fault. Deep down, he knows, even though he has no way to know. Right. It's just like, deep down, he knows. Somehow, this is all my fucking fault. and my kid's holding a severed head. He's the only one that looks like a real person. Everybody else looks like they're... That's why you thought the kid was going to go evil at the end, because that's the last thing the kid does is smile at a severed head.
Yep, right?
It's like, yeah, I don't think you were wrong. I just think you were right for different reasons.
Yeah, she pulls up that head, and I'm like,
what?
It's like, go you, go, girl.
What? Oh my God, I had so much fun watching this film.
I mean, it's quintessential giallo. So,
you know what? It's not, because there's this, and actually, this is rare for D'Amato films too. Am I saying that right?
D'Amato, yeah.
D'Amato, okay. Yeah. For D'Amato as well, it's very rare for him to have a film with no nudity.
I was thinking that myself. I'm like, where is the goddamn... I'm like, this nurse is getting naked somewhere.
This film was all about an American audience. They were determined to get this in American theaters. So obviously they ended up cutting stuff. But outside of that, he didn't put any nudity in. And like he made sure it like seemed like they tried to capture the culture. Oh, also when the... two things now. Shit. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll be quick. No, one, okay. I really, by the end of the film, I was very, very, very annoyed that the whole spiral graph thing at the beginning was just to set up the fact that a child had a protractor.
Yeah. It was, I mean,
really?
They used it later. It did come up later. She stabbed him in the eyes with it.
Well, that's, but yeah, but so they set it up so she has it so no one would ask, where did a kid get a protractor? Are you fucking kidding me? Just having the art supplies piled next to her was enough. Right. You could see it on the board.
Yeah, it probably would have been more effective had you just seen her reach over, grab a protractor and use it, be like, fuck, you know?
Yeah, again, over-explaining visually pisses the shit off. Over-explaining and storytelling kills me, especially when it's over shit that doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter what she... I mean, we could even not know what she stabbed him in the eyes with. He has to pull it out, and we see it. That's it. It could just be two jagged pieces of metal. Give the fuck. It
could have just been a pencil, too. Would have done the same thing.
Problem is, they're trying to be too clever. Sure. That's the problem. They're trying to give you a little... But it was weak. It was weak. I didn't like it. And speaking of America, did you notice during the interrogation sequence that the Gipper was in on the conversation? Yeah. Little picture of Ronald Reagan up on the wall there, yeah. Looking over his shoulder. It's like, yeah, that's right. America, man. America.
He had just been elected the year... Or probably the year that they were filming. He was elected in 1980. Yeah, they were probably filming it as he was elected. They're like, we got to get a picture of Reagan. Just got to throw him up. Got to do it.
Oh, I had one note I made. I got to tell it. When Willie was watching the soap opera and beating the air in anger as he tried to make the TV explode with his mind.
Oh, right.
The first thing that came to my head is it looks like Mike TV being forced to watch Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get that out of my head.
The faces this kid made, I just wanted to backhand him.
Oh, I really was hoping for him that, I mean, when I saw the dog, I was like, please, please, no, please, no. Like any normal human being, I don't want to see a dead dog. And then the kid ran by and was like, I'm open.
Yeah.
Let's discuss. It depends on the situation, but right now it's not looking good for him.
No, not at all.
I agree with you. Totally. But I mean, this is just a fun movie. I wish I'd seen it with you in person, too. This is one of those films you just got to... it's just fucking ridiculous.
It would have been fun. It would have.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
Now, what are you thinking rating-wise there, since you mentioned that? What does that have to do with your...
It's currently set at a 5.3, which I understand. I can understand why it's a 5.3. But I can go 6 on this just because of the entertainment factor in the movie. Although I could go 5-2 and be completely fine with it, just because it's not a good movie. And I have to acknowledge that. I had fun, but it's not good.
And I have to agree with the 5, mainly because even if the original intention was to do a spiritual sequel to his last Cannibal film,
right,
what he ended up with was something that was almost a blatant ripoff of Halloween, if not something to just cater to the Halloween market because it was popular there. Right. And that knocks you down to commercial fare, direct-to-video shit, and that's a solid 5.
Yeah, for sure. So,
yeah,
I'm good with a 5.
Rating it. Bam!
Bam! All right.
So what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
What next?
Oh, it's the Wheel of Suck.
Yes! I've been waiting for this. We've added some stuff since then, but we're still up to 300 entries. We're still around 200 and something.
200 entries. That's where we are.
Yeah. I made a couple of minor changes, and I may have removed one or two things you put up there. You're feel free to remove stuff I put on there. That's a little game we're going to play with each other.
All right. So let's think
it's
about
our list. Do whatever you want.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah. Let's think about the veto list. So last week, it landed on iRobot. Scott vetoed it because.
Correct.
It was.
I didn't want to watch it.
It was my pick, right?
Well, that doesn't matter. It's on the wheel. It's just a wheel decision.
It does, it doesn't, because what I'm getting at is, if it's let's say my pick, and can I veto your veto? It'd be like, no, I do want to watch iRobot. I can't do that, right? Because we get one veto. We get one veto each.
Honestly, if I vetoed something and you wanted to watch it, the fact that you wanted to watch it would make me want to review it.
Fine.
Because then I could yell at you for making me watch it. So that's not a concern.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. There's no. We can change the rules as much as we want. There are rules.
Yeah. All right. So are we?
Also, yeah. No mail-in voting.
No mail-in. Okay. Yeah, can't be trusted. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. If anyone knows us, that's a fucking joke. anyhow, let's go ahead and spin this thing and see what we get.
Spin the wheel.
We're going to spin the wheel going now. Oh, here we go. No whammies. Big money.
They're all whammies.
So it landed on Faust.
Faust. Right.
There's so, no year with this. I don't. Have I?
No. I know. Now, to be specific, what I'm talking about, I added that movie there. No, I don't think you have. So, what we're talking about here specifically is not the classic Faust, and we're not going to be watching a German expressionist film. I'm sorry. What we are going to be watching is a film, a direct. Faust is going to be a direct adaptation of the McFarlane comic book. No, not McFarlane comic book. Fuck me. The comic book, Faust. It was an independent comic book that was very gory and very violent, very sexy, or pornographic, whatever you want to call it. And they did a film version of it that is god-awful and has some of the worst body transformation horror you've ever seen in a 90s late 90s video.
So it came
out, you said 2000.
It came out in 2000. It was obviously filmed in the late 90s.
It was made in the late 1990s. I'm sticking with that.
All right. It's directed by Brian Usna, too, who
pretty
good.
So you've got some body horror in there, but this ain't no Society.
No. I love Society.
No. We're not. No shunting here. Just some other weird shit. And this is a very, very poor comic book adaptation. I'm glad we're getting another comic one. Maybe I'll do a playlist of all our comic book adaptation reviews. Yeah, I think we have enough now.
I mean, I was about to veto it, but as soon as you said some of the worst body transformation.
Oh, no. Yeah, this ever is one where if you were going to veto something because you didn't know what it was, this is one where I'll tell you, trust me, you don't want to veto this. You want to watch this. You want to talk about it.
All right.
Yep.
So I think I added 40 or 50 movies to the list. I think I'm going to add another 40 or 50.
I added quite a few franchises, so we got a lot of room to move around in here.
It almost landed on the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh.
I would have vetoed that. I am not in the mood for that.
I'd be okay with that veto.
I'm just not in the fucking mood. I'm sorry.
No.
Family.
I'm in the mood for stuff like Absurd and Faust. This is a perfect match. This would be a double feature for Bad Movie Night. It works, trust me.
Faust could be like an outdoor movie night, like when we were doing them in October around Halloween.
Well, not with the kids.
No, this would be one of the ones that we would show. You know what's funny about that? And I'm just going to say it real quick. When we started doing that, it didn't matter what we were showing. Because when we were doing this like 12, 13, 15 years ago, nobody had fucking kids yet. They were all in their mid-20s. You know, mid to late 20s. Nobody had fucking kids yet. Some of them, actually, when we were doing this, yeah. They didn't have kids yet. Didn't have to worry about it. Now, when I do this, it's like, we have to show something that's kid appropriate. I'm like, I know, PG-13 or even more tame than that. But and then when that movie ends, all of the kids go home or they go to bed, and then I could put on whatever the hell I want. But that's not till like 10 o'clock. But back when we first started doing this, we showed one year, we showed, it was around Halloween. We did Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
New Generation.
New Generation with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger. We showed that one. And that one went over. That one went over great. Everyone fucking loved that because it was.
Well, they voted on it too.
Yeah, they voted on it.
So they wanted to see it.
Yeah, but it was that was one of the most fun bad movie nights that we ever did. We didn't have to worry about kids because nobody had them yet. So, yeah. Now my kids are getting older. I can't show R-rated stuff, but I can show some stuff now. Stop ringing a bell. Come on.
I
just had a kid turn 14 2 days ago. Give me a break.
No one asked, Grandpa.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Oh.
Okay, Boomer.
Scott's going to wonder. It's like, where's Joey? He never showed up for next week's show. That's right. That's right.
So what we got going? We good?
We're going to wrap it up.
All right.
All right. Let's go ahead and do that. All right, episode 417 of Movie Sucktastic. As always, thank you for joining us yet again for another episode.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. It's a newly designed website. I actually even redid. We have 17 pages of podcasts. That's how many fucking podcasts we have. I actually redid all of the pages so that it's easier to use. So that's done. Go to our site. You can watch the episodes that we do by clicking a link. It'll take you right to YouTube. You can listen to it right on the website. You can download it right from the website. So if you're doing this from your phone, you can listen to it right then and there, or you can download it right to your mobile device, whichever you're using. You can listen to it in your car. It's awesome. You can go to iTunes and listen to the show as well. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic, and you can see everything that we post on a regular basis. It all goes there. You can leave us email, themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com, or if you want to leave us voicemail, call 908-514-4470.
And we're on Letterboxd.
Oh, we're on Letterboxd. That's right. I have to add that link to the website.
And we're working on picking up the reviews there. Please come and weigh in with us. We want to hear about you. Letterboxd seems to be a happening place. We've been members since 2009 when the show started. I have the account to prove it. Come, this is not a flash in the pan. We've been around for a while. Come and check us out and join us.
Yeah, please do. Please do. You know, every week between 7 and 8 p.m., we are live on Thursdays. And we want you to join us while we do that. We would love it. You can also download our podcast player at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, and you can download that right to your Android device, or You can actually just go download your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Make sure
Google
you,
it.
Make sure you favorite us, and we will come right up. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, shit. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, no. Letterboxd. That's my words of wisdom. Join us on Letterboxd. Please, we want to hear from you. I want to see what you're watching, and I want you to surprise me and show me films I've never seen before, because there aren't that many.
No.
That's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Yeah, we've either heard of it or have seen it or both. It's not easy these days. It really, yeah, I've seen
it. It's not easy.
Seen a lot of shit. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review Faust.
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 Faust. Faust.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Oh, still here?